will continue to show you our faithfulness, God. For faithfulness is connected to the glory. Faithfulness is as connected to the glory as the blood is connected to the glory. Faithfulness is as connected to the glory as the blood is connected to the glory. So we commit ourselves. We are committed, God, to maintaining a high standard of faithfulness, God. Oh, yes, God, we know. We know that's not been the norm here. Hallelujah on the Cape, but that's the norm at the gathering, Lord. Faithfulness, a high standard of faithfulness, Father. For faithfulness is connected to the glory, even as the blood. It's as connected to the glory as the blood is connected to the glory. Father, we open ourselves up. We open ourselves up, Father. We'll not look at others. We'll not focus on others. We focus on ourselves, God. We'll stay focused on ourselves, God. Our walk with you. Our relationship with Jesus. Are we doing things right? Do we need to change, Father? What more do we need to do, God? What do we need to stop doing, God, that's hindering you? We'll stay focused on ourselves, God. We'll pray for the others, God, but we'll not focus on them. We'll focus on ourselves. We'll focus on the Word. We'll focus on the Holy Spirit. We'll focus on you. We'll focus on Jesus. We'll focus on faithfulness, because faithfulness is as connected to outpourings of your glory, Father, as the blood is, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, we give you praise. We give you glory, and we give you honor this morning. We're glad to be here, Father. We're glad to be. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Right in the midst of the most trying times of his life, he said, I was glad when it came time to go up to the house of the Lord. For that's where the Lord speaks. That's where the Lord manifests. That's where the Lord blesses. Oh, God, we are committed as we approach our first anniversary, God, of preaching here on Cape Cod. 1 month away from it, Lord. We are more committed than ever. Not less committed, God. More committed. More committed, Father, during this year of the fullness of the blessing, God. So barato segi perege de setiki perodosa frabeke framano e ke paradese ke perodese indikiste. We will keep walking in faithfulness, because faithfulness will always lead us to the fullness of the blessing. Faithfulness will always lead. Jesus was so faithful, Father. So faithful. Even Jesus, the Bible says, learned faithfulness and obedience through the things that he suffered, God. When his flesh wanted to break and run, but he wouldn't. He obeyed you, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Will not break rank and run. Will not break rank and run, God. This is the year of the fullness of the blessing. This is the year of outpourings of your glory. And we'll not take no for an answer, God, for we know it's your will. We know it's your will, Father. You said through the prophet Zechariah, you said, ask me for the former and the latter rains combined. You said, ask me for outpourings of my Spirit. Ask me, ask me. Ask me for the former and latter rains combined. Father, we ask you this morning, Lord, for 2008 to be a year of outpouring of the former and the latter rain, God. The former and the latter glory of God. The former and the latter presence of God, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We will not despise the day of small beginnings, Lord. Everything, every form of life has to start somewhere. First the seed, then the corn, then the seed and the blade, and then the full corn in the air, Lord. It's a progressive thing. And we're progressing right along with you, Lord. You'll not disappoint us, Father. You are a faithful God. You are a faithful Father. Lord, we lift our hands and we thank you for your faithfulness today. We won't sit here and just speak of our own faithfulness, God, and neglect to speak of yours. For you have been faithful, God. You have been faithful, God. You have been faithful, God. We're still here. We're still here. We're still alive. Hallelujah. No attack of the devil was enough to move us, God, to change us, to budge us, to remove us, God. We're still here, and you're still here, God, because you're faithful. You're faithful. Father, we make a decision again this morning as a conscious act of our own free will to trust your love. To trust that you know what you're doing in your love, God. We trust your love. We trust your love. It's not possible to trust you, Father, without trusting your love. We rest in your love. In this place today, God, we are committed. We're here for the long haul. We're committed to you as you're committed to us, Father. And even as we will continue to show you faithfulness, God, you will continue to show us greater faithfulness and greater glory in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Do you believe that? The devil has fallen. Never to rise again. We have risen in Christ, never to fall again. Hallelujah. And that's the word of the Lord to us this morning. Amen. I've asked you to go to Matthew chapter 27 in your Bible. Hallelujah. It's Resurrection Sunday. We're here celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, if you came expecting something today, you're going to get it. Amen. If you came expecting nothing, you're going to get that too. Amen? But I know you came expecting. Amen? William Branham used to say to people, William Branham was a powerful prophet of God. They said he operated in the gifts of the Spirit more strongly than anybody in human history next to Jesus Christ. The man was in the Spirit 50% of his life, he said, on average. He would have such dreams and visions of God, such manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, he would beg God for them to stop. He would beg God for them to stop. He just know things about people. Healings, go read the Chicago Daily News and the Sun Times. Photographers and reporters in his meetings through the 30s and the 40s and 50s taking photographs of cancers falling off women's faces. Just fall and dry off a human face, a huge, I was reading of one just the day before yesterday, and the photographers would fall on their knees in repentance before God. The journalists fall on their knees in repentance before God when they'd see these things happen. I read of one woman had a growth on the side of her face as big as a hand, and when he prayed for it, it turned blood red like it was about to get bigger, and then suddenly turned black, fell off of her face, landed at his feet with the photographers and journalists watching, 4,500 people in the room, I believe, and she had baby skin on, and it happened. You need to study the ministry of William Branham right up until 1960. From 1960 on, stop listening to him. He got into flaky business. He started saying, he had such miracles in his ministry, he began to believe the lie that he was the Elijah of the last days. He began to refer to himself as God's last day prophet. And God told Brother Hagin he was going to have to take him out of the earth if he doesn't repent. He started teaching pyramidology, zodiac astrology combined with the scripture. The devil just, he was a good man right up until, he was a good man until the time he died. Don't get me wrong. But from 1960 and on, he got into some goofy stuff. He just couldn't stick with the gifts God gave him, just preaching a simple gospel and let God confirm it with awesome, amazing miracles. He had to get off into teaching, and he wasn't teaching. And you know what happens when you assume an office you're not called to. Premature death is almost always the case. And that's what happened to him. God told Brother Hagin, gave him a prophecy one day. He said, Ear 64 will come and go, and he'll be gone. And in 1964... Was it the last day of 1964? I think it might have been the last day of 1964. William Branham was killed in an automobile accident driving on his way from Phoenix, Arizona. You can go online, look at the ministry of William Branham. Absolutely fascinating. How did I get into this today? Amen. That man had amazing gifts operating in his ministry. I encourage you. Anything after 1960, watch out. He got into big trouble. But I love the man. I love his ministry. His ministry was of God. We all have to be careful. You know, we have to be careful. None of us are Jesus. Amen? He got on to some flaky stuff. People people just worshiping him and admiring. That's still around today, Branhamites. There's over 500,000 Branhamites still in the earth today. His son is still selling tapes out of Jeffersonville, Indiana. He sells over 500,000 recordings a year of his dad's message. He's still preaching the goofy doctrine that his dad was the Elijah of the last days. Don't listen to that! But go from 1960 backwards to 1937. Go read about how when he was born, the day he was born in a log cabin in Kentucky, his mother gave birth to him on a dirt floor cabin, and his dad opened up the window to let some sun and some fresh air in a pillow-shaped burst of glory came in the window. All the neighbors who were outside waiting to see the new baby saw it come in from the heavens. The neighbors all saw it come in the window. His parents hover over his bed and go on the inside of him. And he began operating the gifts of the Spirit when he was about 3 or 4 years old, before he was even born. Before he was even... God... Oh, I could get into it here this morning, but we're going to be talking about the resurrection. Amen? William Branham said, if you come to church expecting something, you'll get it. If you come to church expecting nothing, that's what you'll get too. If you come to church to see what's going on, you'll see what's going on. And you'll go home knowing what went on. Amen? But you won't get anything. He said, if you come in looking for what's wrong with the place, the devil will gladly oblige you. He said, come expecting a miracle from God. Every time you have a need, come to church expecting it. Every time you need God to speak to you, give you direction, come expecting it. And you will get what you expect. That man knew how to pull on the power and the glory of God. Did you get that name? William Branham. B-R-A-N-H-A-M. But be careful. From 1960 on, he started teaching some goofy stuff. But before that, you will be amazed at the things he knew about people. And the healings that occurred at his hand. And the revelation that God gave that man concerning other living, breathing human beings. He said he was in the Spirit 50% of the time. He asked God one day, he pleaded with God, make the gifts stop. I think I'm going crazy knowing these things about people and never being wrong. He said, you know what God did when I pleaded with him to stop? Nothing. So I figured I better just adjust to it. God knows what he's doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Same gifts of the Spirit can operate in our midst. Now, maybe not as strongly. Maybe, maybe not. But we should all be expecting. Amen. When we come to church together. Amen. Never stop expecting. Never give up hope. Amen. It's Easter. Spring has sprung. It's the time of the year that we're always reminded how nice purple goes with yellow. How nice purple goes with yellow and green. Isn't it? Driving around, Barbara's pointing out the crocuses and the... What else is popping up? We saw some hyacinth coming up this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. We wake up in the morning, Easter morning. Amen. We take out one of our nicest suits, our best dress, maybe a new pair of shoes. Amen. We get all spiffed up, come down to the church house. Maybe some of us, before we leave, we put a turkey or a ham in the oven. And then we come down to hear a message on the resurrection. And that's good. Amen. We're going to hear another one today. We're going to hear out. I'm not trying to be unique. This Resurrection Day, amen? I'm going to talk about the resurrection. But Easter is not only the time of the year we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Easter is also one of the two times in the year that we celebrate the resurrection of closet Christians. You'll see them out in their cars today, coming and going. They raise from the dead twice a year. They come to life at Easter, and they die again till Christmas, and they raise again at Christmas, and they die again till Easter. Amen? So watch out for them today. Hallelujah. Hopefully we'll be able to beat them to the restaurant today. We'll see how it goes. Amen. We're going to pick up the narrative here of Jesus' resurrection in Matthew 27. Is that where I asked you to go? Amen. This is just, we'll pick it up just a few moments before Jesus' death. Father, you give me wisdom and utterance in the Holy Spirit here today. Jesus' body is still on the cross. The veil of the temple is about to be torn in two, signifying access into the presence of God for all who believe. Amen. We're believers. Amen. The sky is blackened. It's approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The earth is about to be shaken by a violent earthquake. at the same moment that Jesus' spirit leaves his body. Let's go right here to verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, that's supernatural strength. After what he had been through, he was able to cry out with a loud voice. That's supernatural. Yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent or torn in two from the top to the bottom, 4 inches thick, 60 feet tall, ripped in half. Easy thing for God to do. Amen. Indicating that now all were welcomed in the presence of God who believed in what was happening to Jesus. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. And look at in verse 52. The graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept or were dead arose. And they came out of the graves after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city, appeared to many and blew every mind. Imagine your loved ones coming back from death. They've been gone 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 years. Who knows how long? The graves opened. Hallelujah. We'll come back to that. Amen. And they appeared to many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, people coming out of the tombs, they feared greatly, and rightly so, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, his female disciples, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate, and he begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered to him, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. He was a sweet man. He laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, had someone do it, contractors, and he rolled the great stone to the door of the sepulchre, and he departed. His heart was broken. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulchre, grieving. Now the next day, that followed the day of the preparation for the Passover, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver Jesus said while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come at night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He's risen from the dead.' So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch," meaning you have permission. He granted the watch. A watch was four men that would change every 3 hours. I want you to catch this now. Don't read ahead. Listen to what I'm saying, okay? I want you to catch this. "You have a watch." Granted, he said. He was saying, take four men and rotate them every 3 hours over the next 3 days. That's 92 soldiers watching that tomb over a 3-day period. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. I want you to see what they did. Just on the wall here, I'll illustrate if you look over here. If everybody will look over here, amen, you want to see this. This is how they sealed the stone. Here's the stone in front of the grave. The soldiers would take a wad of clay, press it on one side of the stone, a wad of clay, press it on the other side, run a cord from the clay over the huge stone to the other clay, press this cord into the clay on either side, and then take a seal of the Roman Empire and press it into the clay on either side. And if that stone was disturbed in any way, the cord would pull on the clay, break the seal, and they'll know that somebody was in there. If that happened, if that clay seal was broken for any reason on either side of the stone, it was death for the four soldiers who had happened under their watch. Do you see that? Sealing the stone and setting a watch. And when it says to set a watch, That word doesn't mean to make sure no one escapes. It means to stare at constantly. They were given the responsibility of sitting there, standing there, and stare at the stone. Don't take your eyes from the stone. You see that? That's what they had to do. Okay. Jump down to Matthew 28. Now that you have that in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Whew, that's the second earthquake in 2 days. Amen? For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. It's kind of like, you know, the speed of sound, breaking the sound barrier. He came out of the light realm into this realm, and he slowed down to the point, it caused an earthquake. Amen? Hallelujah. Nice illustration there, Pastor. You sound like a little boy playing with your trucks. There was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven. He came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning. His raiment white as snow. Barbara and I saw an angel come into Cape Cod whose countenance was like lightning and his raiment as white as snow last Saturday evening. And for fear of him, the keepers, that's the guards, the watchmen, the soldiers, did shake. That word keeper, that's the word that means to stare. They were to stare at that stone. No out there goofing around, smoking pipes and telling dirty jokes. They were standing there, sitting there, staring at the stone for 3 hours a shift. You got that, don't you? Hallelujah. The angel answered, oh, these guys, the keepers did shake and they became as dead men. They fell under the power. Amen. The angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. One translation of the Bible says he was impaled on a torture stake. I know you seek Jesus who was impaled on the torture stake. That's what the angel actually said. He's not here. For he is what? Say risen. Risen. Say he is risen. Say he is risen. Would you like to know what the angel really said? A literal translation of what he said? He said he's not here. He's been roused from death. He's collected his faculties and he's raised up again. That's what the angel said. He's not here. He's been roused from death. He's collected his faculties, and he's raised up again, ready to go. Hallelujah. That's what the angel actually said. He said, come, I'll show you the place where he lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, that he's been roused, collected his faculties, and he's raised up again. Hallelujah. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear. That's us. That's awe. They were struck with awe and great joy. And did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, lo and behold, guess who met him? Jesus saying, all hail. You know what he really said? That's King James. He didn't say all hail. He said, health to all. That's the first words he said. Don't tell me it's ever God's will for you to be sick. The first thing he said when he came out of the grave was, health to all. Look at me. I was a torn up, ragged, old, bloody mess 3 short days ago. Look at the supernatural healing working in my body. Amen. That was super. He said, all health to all. That's a wonderful word. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm excited about the resurrection. Amen. I'm excited about anything having to do with Jesus. Amen. They came and held them by the feet. They worshipped him. And he said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brethren. That's actually beloved. It's a term of endearment. You know what he's saying here? He said, don't be afraid. Go tell my beloved. Go tell them I still love them. In spite of the unbelief, in spite of the butcher and I went through and the cowardice that you went through over it, I still love you. Go tell my beloved, I've risen. They're going to Galilee and they'll see me there. Amen. The Bible reveals that the resurrection of Jesus is an historical fact. It's not some far-fetched, isolated wonder. It's not some imagination from Jesus' disciples. Human imagination never emptied a corpse-filled grave. Amen? Hallelujah. Pilate set guards around that tomb. He put that seal that I just demonstrated for you on the wall, sealing it tightly. Amen? Those soldiers were all afraid. That not just the soldiers, Pilate was afraid, the high priests, they're all afraid. All afraid that somebody would get in there, pull that body out of there without being seen, and then the whole world would start believing the lie that this deceiver rose from the dead. That's what they called him. You just read it. Called him a deceiver. They remembered what he said in Matthew 12:40. When he looked them all in the eye, and he said, even as Jonas was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and will rise again. Hallelujah. Resurrections worth shouting about, amen? Anything in the Bible is worth shouting about. I shout about the maps. Hallelujah. He did rise from the dead, amen? Even the guards who were assigned to the tomb went in and saw it and ran back and told everybody what they saw. Amen? Look at Matthew 28, verse 11. When they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, the guards, and showed unto the high priest all the things that were done. They said, he's gone. He's gone. We sat there for 3 days, 92 of us taking our turn, staring at that stone. Nobody moved that stone, and he's gone. Hallelujah. Well, somebody did move the stone. The biggest man I've ever seen in my life came down out of heaven, glistening like lightning, rolled it aside, sat on it, and we went inside, and he was gone. I bet you that went over big. Yeah, right. Amen. Hallelujah. And when they were assembled with the elders, the gods, telling this story, and had taken counsel, they gave large money. Oh, notice that word large. Large money unto the soldiers. 92 of them. 92, large money. Large money. It cost them a fortune to get these 92 guys to lie. They started out purchasing Jesus' betrayal through Judas for 30 pieces of silver. And now look what they're getting involved in. Amen? It's just like sin. If you don't repent, you're just constantly sinning to cover it up. It just gets worse and worse. It just got worse and worse here. They're spending a fortune now. It started out 30 pieces of silver. It's like ketchup in a bottle, you know. It starts coming out just little bits. And if you're not careful, the whole thing, blah, 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 blah. Ketchup in a bottle. First a little, then a lottle. That's what we used to say when we were little kids. Putting it on the hamburger. Ketchup in the bottle. First a little, then a lottle. It's all over your salad and everything. That's what sin will do. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's what happened to these guys. 30 pieces of silver turned into how many thousands of dollars, amen, to get these guys to keep their mouth shut. Hallelujah, saying, say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if it comes to the governor's ears, we'll persuade him and we'll take care of you. We won't let him kill you. So they took the money, the 92 fools that they were. They did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the governor calling in all 92? What happened? I don't know. I was asleep. What happened? I don't know. I was asleep. What do you have to say? Nothing. I was asleep. How about you? What did you see? Nothing. I was asleep. 92 of them? 92 of them? All willing to risk the death penalty and say that they were asleep? I don't think so. This story doesn't make any sense. You know everything in the Bible isn't true? Well, that's not something I believe my pastor would ever say. Everything in the Bible isn't true. Everything in the Bible isn't true. Everything in the Bible is inspired by God to be recorded in there. But everything in the Bible isn't true. Is it true they were sleeping? No! Now, God didn't inspire them to tell the lie, but he inspired the lies to be recorded. That's what I mean by the everything in the Bible isn't true. The Bible says Peter's a pillar of his community. Is he a concrete pillar? No. Amen. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? God inspired it to be written. These guys are lying. These guys are paid liars. Something's fishy here. Amen. The Bible is a book of truth. The Bible says the chief priests and elders paid the Roman gods to lie and say that Jesus' disciples stole the body. Because as I've already expressed to you, they remembered how Jesus said, go ahead, kill me. I'll come back and haunt you for the rest of your life in 3 short days. Amen? And they were afraid that it just might be true. Amen? They were very concerned. But his disciples didn't steal his body. Amen? Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus not only rose from the dead, but he appeared no less than 12 times in the Bible after his death. No less than 12 times in Scripture, he appeared to individuals. Now, he's appeared to more than 12 individuals since this occurred. Present day, as I'm speaking to you, and as you're not reading the whole chapter of Matthew chapter 28, amen. Present day, Jesus Christ himself is appearing to Muslims in Muslim nations where the gospel's not allowed to be preached. This is so fascinating to me. You know, in this dispensation that we live in, only man can preach the gospel. Angels can't preach the gospel. In the dispensation of grace in which we live, it's reserved for man to preach the gospel. So angels can't go into Muslim countries and preach the gospel to Muslims. So you know what God does? He sends Jesus himself. Jesus is a man. Jesus is a man. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. He's been appearing to Muslims in visions and in dreams. There's reports coming out of Muslim nations all over the world. It's happening more and more all the time. Jesus is appearing to Muslims, revealing who he is to them. They make him his Lord and Savior, and then in their own nation they go out as evangelists. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You should read some of those accounts on the internet. Just put in Muslim/Jesus and see what you come up with. Hallelujah. Well, he's an evangelist. He stands in all 5 offices. He's an apostle. He's a prophet. He's a pastor. He's a good shepherd. He's our pastor. Amen. I'm an under-shepherd under the great shepherd. Amen. He's an evangelist and he's a teacher. He can do that. Amen. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to... You know he appeared to Mary Magdalene first? Glory be to God. Don't tell me women can't preach. The first person he appeared to when he rose from the dead was a woman. And he said, go tell them I'm risen. That's evangelism. That's evangelism. Don't tell me women can't preach and teach the gospel. The next people he appeared to were more women. And he said, go tell my disciples I'm risen. That's evangelism. Go preach Christ risen from the dead. Don't say women can't preach the gospel. At least don't say it to me. Amen. Hallelujah. He appeared to Peter and James alone. He appeared to all the other disciples when they were hidden in the upper room, huddled together for fear that the Romans would catch them up there after Jesus had been murdered. Do you remember that? He came through the wall. He came through the wall in his perfected body. Those same 11 he appeared to a few days later on a mountaintop somewhere in Galilee. The scripture doesn't say where, it just says on the mountain in Galilee. Appeared to those same 11, amen? He appeared to a couple of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're just walking and talking. And next thing they know, there's this strange dude walking beside them talking, and they go, whoa, that's Jesus! You've read that, the road to Emmaus, amen? The Bible says he opened their eyes to who he was, and they realized, this ain't no strange cat, it's Brother Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, he did. He appeared to 7 more of his disciples out fishing. Children, have you caught any fish? He shouted. Bring them on in. He had a fire going on the shore. We'll sup and we'll talk. And they realized it's Jesus. Peter ripped his clothes off and dove naked into the water to be the first one to get there. It's Brother Jesus. He had a fire going for them to cook fish and bread and have a time of fellowship. I'm talking to you about Jesus appearing no less than 12 times in the Scripture after he raised from the dead. You believe the Bible? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. They ate and they drank with him. They hugged him and they kissed him. They looked at the supernaturally healed wounds in his body. The supernatural healing on his back and on his precious face. He was torn apart just 3 days before. The Bible says his own mother couldn't recognize him. But they recognized him. Supernatural healing. Come back from the dead. The glory of God surging through his... He had no more blood in there. He spilled it for us. The glory of God was surging through his veins, keeping him alive now. Rotting supernatural healing in his body. They're worshiping at his feet. Kissing his hands. Looking at the holes. Seeing the supernatural healing. It's really him. He's alive. You know that the Apostle Paul said that Jesus appeared to him and over 500 people at one time? Let me just read it to you in 1 Corinthians 15. You write it down 6 through 8. This is some good resurrection preaching going on in this place today. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Glory be to God. I'm going to read to you verse 6 through 8. After that, he was seen, Paul writing, of over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this day, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, Paul said, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Paul said, unfortunately for me, I didn't get to be one of the 12 apostles. I was born out of time. Woe is me, he said. I wish I could have walked with him. Amen. But he still ended up writing 14 epistles in the New Testament. Amen. Most of what we know about God in the New Testament came through the Apostle Paul. Paul said Jesus appeared to over 500 people at one time, to his knowledge, and Paul spoke with those people. He went and investigated it for himself. That means the people I just told you about, plus those 500, Jesus appeared to over 514 people in the 40 days between the time he rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. Over 514 people, it is recorded, saw him. There were more. You can know that there were very many more. Amen? Hallelujah. And as I said, he's still appearing in Muslim nations today. He appeared to me. He appeared to me. I was slain in the spirit for 3 days. You know my testimony. I won't take you over it again. Amen? Although it's a good one. It's a doozy. It's a whopper. It's supernatural. I came off that bed of affliction in 3 days. I was out under the power of God for 3 days. And Jesus came out of the clouds. I saw two angels in the clouds. And I saw angels' wings. Two people stand up, Barbara, if you would. Two angels in the cloud, opposite one another like this, if you would. Hallelujah. I just saw them back to back. And one big angel wing this way, and one big angel wing that way, and the two angels separated, you go that way, and a hole formed, and I noticed they had wheels for feet. They had spinning wheels for feet. I thought, what in the world? I read later that the angels in the book of Ezekiel had spinning feet as well. The two angels separated, like I just showed you, Barbara and I, back to back, and out of the hole, caused a huge hole in the cloud in the sky. And I'm standing there looking at it. Now, I'm not on drugs. I'd just been delivered. Amen? I had just been supernaturally delivered. And the hole opened in the cloud as the angels pushed it, and Jesus came out of the cloud and came right at me. And came right before me. And that's all I'm at liberty to tell you. He gave me instruction for my life. He went back into the hole in the cloud. The angels came back together, back to back. The hole closed up, and the cloud began to spin in the middle until it became just a little pin point that vanished. I saw him. And I've had other experiences with Jesus where he literally came and talked to me about my life. He's risen. He's risen. Even if I never had those experiences, I'd still stand up here and tell you, according to the precious, holy, written word of God, our Savior is alive. Yeah. Jesus is alive. You can go onto our website or get the tract that we might have over there on the Word of Wisdom, another experience that I had with Jesus, if you want to read about it, when I was caught up in a trance. And he stood right beside me and talked to me. Well, you imagine the whole thing. No, you're imagining that I imagine the whole thing.
You don't know.
You weren't there. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people just tell me, I don't believe that. I don't believe any of that happened to you. I don't preach what you believe. You go preach what you believe. I'll preach what I believe. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter to me that you don't believe. I know you believe it. I just had people tell me. I had one guy tell me, did not believe my testimony. That did not happen to you. I'm not going to argue with you. Amen. It did happen to me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a miracle. My life is a miracle. Hallelujah. 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 Go to Romans chapter 1 real quick in your Bibles. We're just going to take a few more minutes here. And hallelujah. I'm going to just jump and shout a little more about the resurrection. Amen. Resurrection's important, along with the virgin birth and the sinless blood. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ forms the very cornerstone of our Christian faith. Did you hear what I just said? Along with the virgin birth, which we believe, the sinless blood has become so prevalent in the body of Christ today to teach and preach the blood doesn't matter. Right here on Cape Cod, the glory of God on Cape Cod, trying to get the glory to come apart from the blood. There's no glory apart from the blood. Amen? Amen? Amen. We want the glory connected to the blood. Any glory that comes that's not connected to the blood of Jesus is false glory. It's a demonic manifestation. It's a counterfeit. We don't go for counterfeits around here. Amen. Hallelujah. It needs to be said. It's okay to say these things. I'm here to say these things. I'm not here to not say these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, have I become your enemy because I've spoken the truth? He said, needed to be said. Amen. Hallelujah. Along with the virgin birth and the sinless blood, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ forms the cornerstone of the Christian faith. It separates Christianity from all the false religions of the world. Amen? And that's what they all are. They're all, if it's not Jesus, it's false doctrine. If it's not Jesus, it's a make-believe discipline. Made up by man, not by God. There's only one way to God. Only one way to God is through Jesus Christ. And we're not ashamed to stand up and say so. Are you there in Romans chapter 1? The resurrection is the crux of Christianity. It proves that Jesus is the Son of God and the only Savior of the world. Romans 1:3, concerning His Son Jesus, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ is declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. It's the one key element that none of the world's false religions and make-believe disciplines have been able to reproduce. A resurrection from the dead of one of their own prophets. Now, one of the world's biggest false religions teaches that their prophet, Muhammad, ascended into heaven from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. They don't teach that he rose from the dead. They teach that he ascended into heaven from the Temple Mount. I don't believe he did that. Of course he didn't do that. Amen? I'm more inclined to believe that kid on E.T. that rode his bike past the moon than to believe that some false prophet ascended from the Temple Mount into heaven. He's a false prophet. Allah's a false God. There is no God but Jehovah, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no God but our God. Somebody said, oh, all religions say that. Well, all other religions who say that are wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You notice in Matthew chapter 23 how we read that when Jesus' body was resurrected back there, as we were reading, the body of many saints were risen. When he was risen, they came out of the grave. Do you know who they were? Raise your hand if you'd like to know who they are. Hallelujah. If you don't want to know, you can leave now. You want to know. Amen? You know who they are. We taught a whole session on this about 6 months ago. You know who they are. Remember Jesus said to the thief on the cross, he said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Remember that in Luke 23:43, I believe? He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't go to heaven that day. He went to hell. What did he mean, this day you'll be with me in paradise? Paradise was a compartment in hell, where the righteous dead had to go because they hadn't been purged and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You couldn't go into God's presence in heaven. So there was an air-conditioned, water-cooled, food-provided, safe place in hell called paradise. The Jews called it Abraham's bosom. You can read about it in Luke 16, 19 through 30. Father Abraham was down there. All of the saints who died believing Jesus was coming, before he came, went down into paradise. That's what Jesus meant when he said to the thief, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." It was a compartment in hell. Amen. And that's where everybody was. All of those people who rose from the graves that day when Jesus came back into the earth, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:8 that when he ascended, he led captivity captive. You've read that in your Bible. He led captivity captive. Who's the captivity he led captive? All those people in paradise. He took the whole compartment when he came up out of hell, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and he took the whole compartment and moved it into heaven. Now, when a believer dies, we don't believe Jesus is coming and go down to paradise or Abraham's bosom. We believe he has come. We're cleansed by the blood. We go directly to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Can you see that? Those people had been down in paradise. He raised them all up and he made a wondrous display of them, not only to prove that he rose from the dead, but to prove to us that one day we will raise from the dead, so that nobody can say, "Oh, that was just Jesus." No, it wasn't. A whole bunch of those captives in paradise came out of the grave, went home and said, "What do you think about this, Mama?" That produced some evangelists. Your loved ones come back. All over town, people coming. Now, everybody who was in paradise didn't manifest on the earth. Most of them went right on to heaven. But around the Jerusalem area, Jesus had a whole bunch of them come back to life. People who had been dead for years, some for probably decades. Go find your families and loved ones, the people that knew you were dead, and just start talking and eating with them. Woo! Talk about producing evangelists. They had to do it that way. They had no cable TV to preach the no day star. Amen. They were still using rabbit ears. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. That's proof to you that you're going to raise from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. He ascended up on high. He led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. That's where I came from. Apostles and prophets and pastors, evangelists and teachers, that's where all true ministry offices come from. When Jesus came out of hell, he came back by the earth. He appointed the ministry offices, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers to head his church, and he went on home to heaven. And he left the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the rest of us. Amen. Listen, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, people, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good by accepting him to the resurrection of life. Those who have done bad by rejecting him to the resurrection of damnation." Jesus said, don't marvel at the thought of your own body being raised from the dead. It's going to happen, honey. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I told you before, you can die at sea. You could be a military person. You die at sea and you have an at-sea burial. They plop you over the side, put some stones in the bag with you. To the bottom you go and you get swallowed up by 1,000 fish who swim off in 1,000 different directions. God knows where your DNA is. He will find it. He will bring you back alive. Hallelujah. He proved it through Jesus on that day in Jerusalem when he led all those captivities captive. Hallelujah. Can you imagine seeing somebody at Stop and Shop? You were at that funeral 4 years ago. "Hey, Barbara, how are you? What you doing here?" "I'm getting out of here. That's what I'm doing." Hallelujah. Wouldn't that stun you? That's what they lived through. What's going to happen when you raise from the dead? Let me tell you quickly and I'll dismiss you. Amen. What's going to happen? Say, "Pastor! What's going to happen when I raise from the dead?"
What's going to happen when I raise from the dead?
I'm glad you asked. Number one, your vile body. Write this down. That annoying bag of bones will be changed into a celestial masterpiece. I told you that last time we were together. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Write it down. We don't have time to go to it together. We look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. At the time of the rapture, if you've died, now if you haven't died at the time of the rapture, you'll just be caught up and your body will be changed midair. But if you have your spirit's left your body and you're already in heaven at the time of the rapture. Your body will come out of the grave. And the Bible says He will change your vile body like unto His glorious body in the twinkling of an eye. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the twinkling of an eye, your body will literally be changed from a vile body of humiliation and corruption into a celestial masterpiece just like Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. You know what that is? It's 1/500th of a second. It's quicker than you can blink your eye is what Paul's saying. In 1/500th of a second, look at me up here, quicker than I can do this, your body is changed from a vile body to a glorious body. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the first thing that happens. And you're flying through the air when it's happening. You're looking down over the Cape and saying, wasn't as pretty as I thought it was after all. Amen? You're on your way to the planet heaven. Amen? Number two, He will receive you to Himself. He will receive you to Himself. Let me just read. John 14:3. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's talking about the rapture. And I'll receive you unto Myself. He will receive you unto Himself. Now you know that the rapture isn't the second coming, don't you? You know that the rapture, we get caught up to be in the clouds with Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. At the second coming, we're already up there. We come back with Him at the second coming, where He puts His feet on the Mount of Olives and splits it from east to west. If you read Zechariah 14:5, you'll find you'll be right there at the Mount of Olives with Him. That's what it says. You'll come back with Him. So the rapture and the second coming are two separate experiences. Amen? At the rapture, your body is caught up, glorified. He receives you unto Himself and takes you into heaven. Amen? The third thing that happens is He judges you. He will judge us. We will have rewards given for obedience, and many will even have rewards taken away for disobedience and carnality in the earth. Amen? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It actually says the bema, judgment seat of Christ, and that word bema means reward. Amen? You don't go to the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. You don't go there. That's a judgment for the wicked dead. You're not the wicked and you're not dead. Amen? Amen. You go to the bema judgment seat of Christ where you'll have rewards given or taken away depending on how faithful and how obedient you were while you were in the earth. Amen. Remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, put it in your notes. Amen. I'm a preaching machine this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm trying to close this thing out and I don't want to. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul said every man's work will be made manifest, whether it was gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Listen, what does fire do to gold? It makes it better. It purifies it. What does fire do to silver? Purifies it. Makes it better. What does fire do to wood, hay, and stubble? It burns it up and destroys it. What are your works today? Are you obeying God? I know that you are. I know every person in this room. Talking to people by recording as well. Are your works precious to God in this earth? Or are you doing your own stinking thing, your own works of wood, hay, and stubble? Is your attitude, here's my plan, God, bless it? Or is your attitude, what's your plan, Father? Just tell me what it is, and I know it'll be blessed. That's the difference between gold and stubble. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fire purifies gold, making it more valuable. Fire destroys wood, hay, and stubble. Holy, righteous works of gold in the earth will be rewarded. Carnal, selfish works will burn up like wood, hay, and stubble. Remember, we're on probation. This is a probationary period here on earth. You are determining right now the degree to which you will walk with Him then, to which you will reign with Him then. The degree to which you are reigning with Him now is predetermining the degree to which you will reign with Him then. He has not predetermined your eternal destiny. You do it. You do it. I do it. Amen? Hallelujah. So number one, our bodies are changed. Number two, He receives us to Himself. Number three, He judges us. And number four, He presents us to God. All decked out in our new bodies, fully judged and rewarded, promoted and glorified. All according to the way we lived for Him while we were on the earth. Amen. You want a verse of Scripture for that? I know you do. Note takers. Jude 1. Hallelujah. 24 and 25. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of God's glory with exceeding joy. He will present us faultless to the presence of His Father with exceeding joy. That's our joy, not His joy. That's our joy. To hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Hallelujah. I look forward to that. Amen. Now I'm not in a rip-roaring hurry, but I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see, because of Jesus' resurrection, we too will be resurrected. Our resurrected bodies will be changed and perfected. Jesus will personally receive us. Jesus will personally judge us. Jesus will personally present us to the Father. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? Amen? You will be ready. I can't look at one face in this room and say, "You're not ready." Unless there's something you're not telling me. Unless there's something you're hiding you need to fix with God. I encourage you to do that. Amen. Well, glory be to God. Stand up if you would this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil has fallen, never to rise again. We have risen, never to fall again. Amen. Listen, you may have come here today. You might be listening to us by recording with a problem that seems too big for God. Listen, we serve a God who's too big. Bigger than any problem. Amen. The Bible says all things are possible if only we'll put our faith to believe in. Amen? No matter what you're going through, God can resurrect anything. The deadest dream, the deadest desire, the deadest marriage, the deadest body, the deadest ministry. God can resurrect anything. He's the God of supernatural resurrection. Amen? Do you believe that? God makes a way when there is no way. We see that in the resurrection of Jesus and all those fine folks who rose with Him that day. Amen? My pastor for 15 years, Dr. Lester Summerall, used to say all the time, when all of the possibilities have been exhausted, when all of life's possibilities have been exhausted, and they ain't no more, you got all the impossibilities just lined up and waiting for you. We serve a God of the impossible. Lift our hands. Lift your hands this precious Easter morning. Thank God that He's a God of the resurrection. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him that we could make the resurrection connection. Thank Him that you will pass the resurrection inspection. Thank Him for giving you supernatural resurrection direction. Thank you that you can live out the rest of your time on this earth under resurrection protection. And you can confidently stand before God one day soon in a state of resurrection perfection, all because of our Lord Jesus, the only God who raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Just worship Him. Lift your hands. I'm going to read this as you just worship Him and you listen to His Word. But now is Christ risen from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:20-24. Now is Christ risen from the dead. He's become the first fruits of those of us who sleep. For since by man came death, Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead through Jesus. Praise Him for this. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and it's happened. Afterward they that are Christ at His coming. It will happen. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule, all authority and all power. No more devil. No more curse. No more death. No more sorrow. God, we thank You. We look forward, God, to arriving safely on the planet heaven. Because